You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Alexa Dadd, and today we are talking Marlins baseball. We're bringing our Marlins reporter for MLB.com, Joe Fusaro. And Joe, the latest news is that the Brewers are interested in Christian Yelich, the Marlins outfielder. Are the Brewers and Marlins a good fit for this trade, potentially?
Yeah, Alexa, they seem to be a team that would fit the profile. They have high-end prospects. They're the type of team that's on the cusp of contending, not more than on the cusp. You know, last year they gave the Cubs a real run for their money. They're an up-and-coming team that's, you know, really close, and an all-star caliber player like Christian Yelich would kind of fit into their blueprint. And in meanwhile, he's affordable, you know, because of his contract, which the team that would acquire Christian would have up to four or five years of control based on that club option at mid $40 million range. So we're seeing what the free agent market could bring for outfielders with all-star caliber outfielders. It's a lot higher. So the question with the Brewers, like any other team, is the return. And, you know, there's at least 15 teams in on Yelich, so they're just part of the list. And basically, when you're looking at half the league interested in the player, you could kind of say the Brewers today, you could say the Dodgers tomorrow or whomever, but specifically with the Brewers, they have, you know, a high-end, you know, number one prospect in Lewis Brinson, an outfielder who is from South Florida and right-handed power bat potential. That would be kind of a centerpiece and a package for Yelich, and that does make a lot of sense.
In terms of the Marlins, they're obviously not looking to add much in terms of taking on contracts, but they are interested in the Cuban-born outfielder Julio Pablo Martinez. What can you tell us about him and what he could bring to this team?
Yeah, he's, from what I've gathered and what's been reported by Baseball America and others, is the Marlins are one of three finalists for him, or considered favorites. I should say favorites, because the international market is a little bit different, but yeah, he's an outfielder who's Cuban defected. I believe he is at residency in Haiti, and you know he hasn't been cleared as a free agent yet by MLB, but that is expected, you know, sometime before June. And the Marlins are right there, and I believe the Rangers and Yankees are the other two favorites that are kind of being mentioned. And you know, the Marlins offer a lot to Cuban-born players. You know, they've kind of not had the resources in the past or the commitment because of the high risk of signing some of these players. But with the international bonus pool money, which applies, the Marlins are very much in the mix for him. Now, keep this in mind. The Yankees and Marlins are kind of in the same boat. They actually have more money to spend internationally if the signing is July 2nd in the next international signing period. You know, the Marlins did move some international money as part of the D. Gordon and D. Gordon trade with Seattle, and they did a separate trade in November with the Yankees that sent like $250,000 of international dollars. So they subtracted from their pool is about $1.25 million, and the Rangers actually are more ideally situated to sign Martinez before the next signing period, and I think that period ends about June 15th. So if he could clear through June 15th, that would bode very well for the Marlins, who are making a strong pitch for him. And I think, Alexa, this is, you know, kind of going to be real interesting if they could, you know, land a player like this, because the Marlins clearly need to kind of establish themselves in their procurement of young players internationally. They're going to have to start getting that pipeline coming, and Miami is very attracted not only to players from Cuba, but Latin America. And so I'm very fascinated to see how they do in the next international signing period. In the past, they kind of didn't go all in on the Moncada types because they couldn't really afford $50 million. And if the player didn't pan out, what that would do to their entire budget would just be crippling. While a team like the Red Sox, the $50 million wasn't such a big deal if the player didn't turn out to pan out. So Martinez will be very interesting to see where he lands.
All right, let's talk about this rotation. You wrote about five low-cost starters the Marlins could target. Number five was Bartolo Colon. What are the chances Big Sexy could be brought down there to Miami?
It just depends how much he wants to pitch. And, you know, clearly, you know, from all indications, he's at what, age 44, he's not ready to retire. So the Mets, I heard or saw a report previously, would be the only team he would sign a a minor league deal. It'd be an NRI, non-roster invitee. So assuming the Mets don't have interest, then you would think at some point they would have moved on if they are hoping to contend. But a team like the Marlins could make a lot of sense. I think they've had interest in the past in Colon, when he was a free agent. Here's a guy that, you know, clearly could be kind of, if you're going to have a young rotation, you need kind of an older innings-eating guy around who could kind of set the example. And all these guys I kind of mentioned all kind of fall in the same boat because it'd be kind of one-year deals. And if they are doing really well by the July deadline, they become trade possibilities to contenders. So it makes a lot of sense. The question is whether the Marlins feel he completely fits the mold because age kind of seemed to catch up to him last year. The numbers weren't as strong as we've seen in years past. So we don't know if Father Time has caught up to Bartolo, but I think he could be an interesting fit here in Miami.
Who else on that list stood out to you?
Wade Miley. You know, here's a guy who the Marlins, he probably would be at the top of the list because the Marlins in years past have tried to get him. When he was at Arizona, they tried to get him as a free agent and in various trades. They've always kind of been on the outside looking in with Miley, and I think that a guy like that could possibly get done here. Chris Tillman interests me also because he had success pitching at the top of the order in Baltimore, but he's coming off an injury. You know, I think some of these pitchers would like to come to a pitcher-friendly park like Marlins Park, try to reestablish health and you know, in the process, recreate their market, come in on a one-year deal. And, again, if they're doing well, they become a trade possibility. And probably not, you know, you're not going to get for Chris Tillman or Bartolo Colon, you're not going to get someone's number one prospect. But if they're performing well, that player, that pitcher could get into a contending situation for the second half, and the Marlins could get something in return.
All right, let's talk about some other players who could be big pieces for this team moving forward. Brian Anderson took a big step forward in 2017. He was in the number 9 spot on MLB Pipeline's list of top third base prospects. What does he bring to the table?
Yeah, it's a nice little accomplishment for Brian. You know, here's a guy, I was happy to see him make that list. He was a September call-up, and he's put himself in position to be one of the, third baseman of the future, perhaps. So, you know, Prado is still here. As long as Prado is still on this roster and healthy, I can't imagine Prado is not going to be the starting third baseman. So for Brian, the only thing that really could be standing in his way is Prado. Now, here's a guy who played in the Futures game. He had 2 hits in that game. He played the whole game at third base. And if you know, I was at that game, and if you just kind of look at all the talent on the field, you kind of see who looks like they belong. And I thought Brian Anderson clearly showed he belonged. And, you know, that was some of the best on these pipeline lists. You're going to see basically the whole top 10 on that played in that Futures game. And so for Anderson to come in at number 9 at that position, good for him, good for the Marlins. He had his ups and downs in his career so far. He seems to get off the slow starts, which isn't the greatest thing in the world, but if he goes down to AAA and spends a month or so in New Orleans, you know, gets a little more refinement, and we'll see what happens with Prado. Brian Anderson's a guy Marlins fans are going to get used to having around here, and if he can hit for the power, they hope, then this guy could be, you know, an average to above-average third baseman in the big leagues.
All right, that's going to do it for us this week on MLB.com Extras. For Joe Versaro, I'm Alexa Datt. We've got a fresh new edition next week, so make sure you stay tuned. Thanks, Joe.